Okay, good morning. Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Dalet. We're starting at the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Bet. At the Mishnah, it's dedicated to Shir Yishmat. We're going to die in this war to Charalim and to civilians, to Ptsuim, and to Shvuim, mentioned Matan Shachar Ben Anat, the last member of the Paris tank. He's going to be a Gula, Shlema, Bim Harib, Amen, during the month of Nisan. Amen. Okay. So the Mishnah starts, HaChoshev Lishloach Heret V'Kadon. We saw this before. We see this alluded to a lot of times, but interesting, it's named Beit Shammah. That a person even just had thoughts. He had a Pikadon with something, then you decide, I'm going to use it. So a guy leaves you his lawnmower to look after, and you're lying in bed there Sunday morning in a normal country, or Friday morning in Israel, and you think, I'm going to mow the lawn. I've got a lawnmower here now. But it's not yours. You aren't allowed to use it, right? If you have those ideas, you need to see a doctor. But anyhow, right? And just have machshava. To go and shloach yad pikadon. Look at Rashi here says, he quotes the Bach, HaChoshev shloach yad, right? He quotes a Rashi there, by the way, in Kedusha, says, Dav dafka amar ele chashav. Didn't even say, right? Because yet says, Rashi says here, Amar bifna HaChoshev shloach yad, Amar. He takes that. He says, no, who chashav, just even thought about it, right? Just thought about using it. But Shammah said, you already chayev. Look at Rashi. If from that moment you had a thought to use it, whatever happens now to that object, you chayv in onis. Why? Because basically you're like a gazlan. Or shoyal, the best. You're a shomer sach, a shomer chinam. That's what the Bach says. Look at the Bach. That's why I mentioned the Bach. Then you were listening. I said, look, Nisgeru, Kedushin, Sof, Dal, Remeh, Pirish Rashi, the love dafka amar, el chashav. You can't think in front of Aidin.
Against what I've always learned.
Okay, well, now, that's
that
why
you know that you don't, you get punished for your actions if they're wrong, but not for your thoughts.
So you are getting punished for your thoughts. No. You are getting punished for your thoughts. So what you learned was right. Don't worry. Don't have to. It's existential crisis. Right? What you learn here, what's happening over here is from the moment that you thought to use it,
yes.
Not your thoughts you're getting punished for. You had intention to use it. Now, from that moment onwards, you become responsible for that chayfetz. So now what happens to that chayfetz is your responsibility. Not punch your thoughts. But the thought to use it was a change in status. Change in status. You were shomer sachar and not shomer sachar any longer. That's what Shammah says, right? Shammah mechayv. Behirah omrim, enu chayv ad shishlach bo yad. Behirah says, no, what are you talking about? You got to actually pick up the chayfetz. Shneimar, kovel tepas, im lo shalachar im nechidra. It says, im lo shalachar do, until you sent, you actually used it. Not when you thought about it. Okay, that's a one halacha. Rashi's over here. The next one, Rashi actually had the verse of wide lines. Miltav anpe nafsha. This is separate aloha now. It's all together. He says, Hate et hachavit. You just tilted the barrel to get a bit of wine out of it. And you got wine. You took a revit of wine out of it. Right? So you actually used the barrel. And then the nishpara. The barrel breaks after you took out the revit. And you have the revit. You only chai for that revit. Look at Rashi. Right, v'nishmer la'achazman, a while later, it didn't break now. Right, so you took out the barrel, then it broke a little bit later. You put the barrel, you took to the barrel, took out your revit of wine, then the barrel was back. You pay for the revit. Right, he says el revit tishlichud yad enu mitchayev ba'onzin ad sheyimshoch o yagbir dahave knia. Now, what happened? There wasn't any maaseh kinyan. This is not obviously Beit Shammah. Beit Shammah is even just a machshava. Here he says until you actually take a maaseh, how are you maaseh kinyan? You're going to pick it up or you're going to move it? Just going like this. It's not a maaseh kinyan. There's no hagba'ah and there's no meshicha. So you weren't caught in the barrel. So you got to pay back the guy for your revit. You took a revit out of his barrel, pay him back for the revit. That's all. He's beer. However, if you lifted it up and then you took a revit out of it, v'nishpara v'shlam t'mei kudai, you pay for the whole thing. Why? When you lifted up that barrel, you were caught in the barrel, you were caught in, not as an owner, you are now being taken to your possession, you're saying it's yours, you now became basically a gazlan or at the best a shoyal, look at Rashi. T'havei k'nia b'hagba'ata. From the moment on, you chayv in all the onis. Okay. So now, you all got your two bar. Okay, well, those of you that aren't using, if you're using a computer, you only have to have one computer, but if you're using a Gemara, you're going to need a new one. Huh? Stein's also got it. Okay. Stein's also got it together. Okay. Now, Gross, where do we know? What's the question over here? This question over here, I think we're asking about Beit Shammah, right? That says you chayv in from the moment you thought about it. You see, the Mishnah Shas references that Kiddushin in Daf Mem Bet Amud Bet. That's where Rashi came from, the previous Rashi, right? So he says, "Wait, Tan Rabbanan, I called Var Pesha." Right? He says, "I called Var Pesha." Because the Rashi over here, in Kiddushin, Rashi says, I'll call that Pesha, Batar im lo shlach yad b'chtiv. It says first, I'll call Dvar Pesha, I'll show you the pasuk of him lo shalach yado. So it's a kol dvar pesha, even if you didn't. What's the difference? Can I have a kol dvar pesha? Pesha Rami melamed shechayv ha-machshava kemaseh. You see that? You chayv ha-machshava, like you did it right. What else are we talking about? Eno chayv ad shi shlach po yad. That's what you learn, right? Rehila, roch zak rehila. Right? She neymar, im lo shalach yado v'chidre. So I'm ruling, bet shavle hila, so bet shavle hila. I don't understand bet hila. Falo kvar neymar, a kol dvar pesha. It says anything, a kol dvar pesha. Irrespective of whether you did or you didn't. Right? It says, Behilel. Amru lahem, Behilel bet Shammai. What do you mean? Valok v'ar nemaim, lo shalach yadu b'nechid rayu. But you got to actually do something. Simke, ma tamud lomar akol dvar pesha. So why did the Talmud, the Pasuk say akol dvar pesha? When it said, im lo shalach yadu, in the previous Pasuk, why did it say now, akol dvar pesha? Sheyachol, you might think what? And yelahu. Amar, but if it's you yourself who did it, but Amar Abdul Shocho Minaim, where do you know, even you have, even if you asked your servant or you asked your Shaliach to do it as well? Look at Rashi. I mean the very first Rashi lines there, right? Amrul Abdul Shishlach Yad Vechen Asai, and he listened to you. So Minaim Shu Chayav. How you know he's Chayav? Because it wasn't you, it was your Shaliach. Pesha. What do we might have thought? I think, I haven't seen this written, but I'm saying what we might have thought, you might have thought what? Ein Shaliach Davar Aveira. Right? One second, Ein Shaliach Davar Aveira. So you would have thought that you can't be Chayev. So Shaliach should be Chayev. But yeah, because it says called Dvar Pesha, you Chayev. Seems to be like, is there any note on that, by the way? Did anybody see a note on that? I just thought about that now, to be honest. Okay. Called Dvar Pesha. Next halacha. I tell a chavit, you tilt to the barrel. So I'm a rava. Rava is like a loshan el nishpura. That's only if the barrel actually broke afterwards. Right, look at Rashi Nishbara. The onesu vare lo kanash in chai bonsin. And now you patur. Why you patur? Because what did you do? You just tilted the barrel. It was no maase kinyan. And therefore, you wouldn't be chai in ones. So we said there that if you tilted the barrel, it's going to revit, and then it broke a little bit later. You wouldn't be chai for the whole barn, only chai for the revit itself. However, says Rava, avalich mitzah, but if the barrel of wine, the remaining wine went sour, went off, as it is now, he says, then mishay mekula, you chai for the whole lot. Look at Rashi, avalich mitzah, pshia, that's pshia, why? That's an amazing why. We'll see in what's the reason. He says, kulabai taima, gire didehu da'anule. Right? Because it's your arrows. Look at Rashi, what do you mean your arrows? Chatzim shelo garmule, this is grammar. It's talking about a moment ago, right? It's your grammar that was hichmit. Why is it grammar hichmit? The previous Rashi said, look at the very last, the last wide lines at the top there of Rashi. Like this, pshehi umazik be'adam. It's if you didn't have the be'adayim, you personally damaged the wine. Why? The bishvil shechisra hechmitza. Because you took out a little bit of that wine, the rest went off. Shechain derech yayin lachmitz b'lekli chaser. See, if you got wine in a little bit of wine left in a barrel,
it's not full.
So it's not full. It's going to go off. Quite interesting. Whiskey, by the way. The angels stealing. We went to Scotland. The guy explained to us that whiskey, when you leave whiskey, when it gets to too little amount, so the evaporation becomes very high. He says that's the angels' theft, that the angels' portion. Angels' portion. Because they're stealing it out the barrel. So you need always have whiskey once it gets too low. Actually, the whiskey's in a gulp, then the actual alcohol starts evaporating out of it. Whiskey, it doesn't go off, it starts losing its strength, the whiskey, because all the alcohol evaporates. You left with all the water. Mm. So, similar idea over here, right? So next thing we saw in the Mishnah was Higbir Venatlim, and if you actually lifted it up, and then we saw the new Chayiv, so Amar Shmuel, Lo Natalan Talamash. So, Shmuel, yeah, comes, we said this before, right? So you actually have to lift it up properly. You didn't take it out. Lo natal. Because one of the Mishnah said higbia v'natal, right? Higbia v'natal him in revit. You lifted it up and you took out a revit. So says Shmuel, not enough that you actually take out a revit. Elakevan chehigbia little. You just lifted it up in order to take, right? Af mishelo natal. Even you never took. So you already chayv. The moment you lift it up to take, you were corner it. For that moment, almost you chayv in honest. If nothing took out of it, so lema kai sabashmuel shchatiyadot shichachishon. And we saw this the other day, right? We saw the other day that shlichat yad, this idea of using something and being responsible, is it only after you've caused a reduction in the value or in the on the content or the quality or not? Here's it. You want to say even at chisaron, you didn't even do anything. Just left it up and you're chay. Would you don't have to in order to be chay for shlichut yad? You actually have taken a bit out of it. Amrei lo. He says no, you can't say that. He normally would agree that you need chisaron, but shani yacha, he has different. Why? Why didn't he take it out? He prefers the idea that his revit he wants to drink is being looked after by the rest of the wine in the barrel. That's what he says. The nichele. Look at this. How did that translate? Give me the English translation for that, please. The literal.
Custodian wants.
Wants what?
The entire keg of wine. Hold it for the
revit. Right. In other words, he wants that, because we saw a moment ago, when you take a little bit of revit, the whole barrel gets ruined. So you want all the wine around it to keep this barrel, this revit of yours fresh. So that's why, is if it's already yours now.
He's already out of it.
It doesn't matter. The revit's in there. He hasn't drunk it yet. Oh, yeah, but he's happy to have the whole rest of wine. They're looking after his revit. All right. By Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi Osakashia, Higbia Anton, we understand now when you took out a barrel. Right, because you wanted all the wine to support your revit over there, and therefore it's basically like acting, looking after your stuff. But what about money? Be honest, you told him in a dinner, you lift up a purse to take one dinner out of the purse, a ma'u. Do we say chamru is like wine, and therefore you're already responsible for the whole purse, you've never taken a coin out yet, because you want all the other money in the purse to look after your money. Or maybe not. The law minta agav chamra, like wine. One, we understand why you chay, because you want all the other wine to look after your barrel, the whole barrel of wine to look after your revit. Avazuze mintar, but the coin, irrespective of the coins on its own, doesn't need the rest of coins to help it. So each coin stands out, so therefore you wouldn't be chay until you actually took the coin out. Or Dilma, shani netiruta darniki, minitiruta de dinar. Well, he says, no, maybe not. Maybe the look at Rashi here. Kis malay nira umishtamer, a full purse. You can see it, you can identify it, and it's more secure. You're not going to lose it so quickly, like a coin on its own. So even though you only want the coin, you're happy to have the coin in the bag, in the purse. Having the purse, that also makes it safer. Your money safer when it's together, lots of other money, and just like a revit of wine in a barrel, or not. The Gemara answer is, taiku. Okay, adran lach ma'amafke, adran lach ma'amafke, adran lach ma'amafke. Okay, let's quickly, we're starting now, please go to the fourth paragraph, right, of thing, we've got this quickly. Okay, so now this is a little bit of a tricky, trying to get our head around it. We know that the halacha of Maaseh Kinyan is, we just saw it a moment ago as well, that there's either a meshicha or a grira or something, right? You dragged it or you pulled it or you lifted it or hadba'ah. That's the way you do Maaseh Kinyan with metaltalin, as opposed to land. Land, you can give the guy money, you bought the land. There's no way, you don't buy things in halakha with money. Okay, what's the money? To use vinerots. So there's a social norm. That's what it is. Halakha is, you go to lift it up. We'll see, the Gemara's going to say an amazing thing. You trust the person, once they've lifted up and done the Maaseh Kinyan, they're actually going to pay you. But they give you the money, because that's why you're doing it. But this is the act. So now, once I lifted this up, it's mine. I can't change my mind. I can't go back. It's a done deal. I can't lift it up and say, I'm going to give you the money, I'm not going to pay you. Like shaking your hand. But it's not like shaking your hand. Because you pick it up. You go to do a Maaseh Kinyan. So here the question is now is, if I buy from you gold coins, I'm a money changer now, right? Now, what is the currency and what is the commodity? Is the gold coins the currency and the silver coins the commodity? Or is the silver coins the currency and the gold coins are the commodity? So in other words, when I'm buying, if I'm exchanging gold coins for silver coins, so what am I? I'm giving you gold coins. So if gold coins is the commodity, then you've got to do the Maaseh Kinyan on the gold coins. And then once I've lifted up the gold coins, I've done the Maaseh Kinyan. Now I owe you the silver money to pay you for the gold coins. If the money is the silver is the commodity, then I've got to do the Maaseh Kinyan on the commodity, and you've got to give me the gold coins. So what is kone what? With me? Mm-hmm. That's this mishta. Look over here. Hazahav kone takesef. Says gold bar silver. What do you mean gold bar silver? It's actually counterintuitive. It's the other way around. Gold, the Mishnah is telling us, look at Rashi, halokeach dinarezav tivuim. Bidra kesef, you're buying gold coins and you're paying for them with dinarei kesef. V'natan lo dinarei zahav, the moment he gave you the coin, meshichat hazahav, when you lift up the gold, koneh kesef, you're now entitled to the money. Okay, you lift up the gold coins, you're entitled to the money because the gold becomes the commodity. Lebal hazahav, V'nitchayev lo zeh mishikibel dirai zahav latayt lo drakeh. Now, the moment you pick up the gold coins, you chayev to pay the guy the silver money. But it was the lifting up of the gold coins. It was the maaseh kinyan. That's the actual commodity. They call it your fruit. The Mishnah calls it payrot and kesev, right? V'enu achol achol. Once you've lifted up the gold, you can't change it. You can't go back. You've done a maaseh kinyan. Either you've paid the money yet. But like kesev, when you just give the guy the money, eino konet azahav. If I give you the money, I'm not entitled, I can still undo the deal. If I gave you, I said, yes, I come here and I give you $50,000 in silver coins or in notes. And I say, here's the money. And I haven't got the gold coins yet. I can change my mind and take the money back. The buyer does the Kenyan. Yeah. Exactly, right? Okay. You always like it? The buyer does the Kenyan?
No, the buyer does the Kenyan.
Why? Yeah. I mean, you could look at it from their perspective, that the seller is the buyer of the silver coins.
Well, that's what I'm saying. My father's saying the buyer does the Kenyan. But let's say something else. Let's say you're the seller, okay? And now I give you the money. And now I say, I don't want to do the deal. You say, what are you talking about? You paid me. It's a done deal. That can happen as well, right? You know, lacha, that can't happen. You know, lacha, until the buyer picks up the stuff, you can't do it. So, you know, lacha, that's exactly the cash, right? Right? He says,
if it was a coin, if it was a barter, a chair for a table.
So again, it's a chair for a table. No, that's it.
As long as you've done Kenyan.
No. I think that we'll see in a moment that Robert might be onto something, because we're going to see that the reason why coins are important, we're going to see that coins are called harif, where something which is legal tender. Legal tender becomes the money, and everything else becomes the commodity. So if you aren't using legal tender here, you're doing a barter, then I would venture to say that maybe both sides have to do the Mashiach.
Rashi says different.
What does Rashi say?
He says, Dineh's on Eno Ela Kishar Metaltalin.
Right, Kishar Metaltalin. But because, yeah, there are Dineh Kesef in the story.
Right, this is like...
When you haven't got Dineh Kesef? Mm-hmm. What if I'm giving you a computer for my book? So Rashi's saying the gold coins are the commodity because the silver coins are the money. I don't want to take too long time. We're going to get
kesef
stuck in there.
Is money as well.
Because the okay. So now what if the commodity? What if money is copper coins, and now you're buying silver, but the actual money is copper? So we'll see that coming up now. Okay. So that's the idea, right? So he says over here. Look at Rashi. Finish this Rashi. Look at Rashi. Says over here. If he gave you the coins first, doesn't make a difference, and they can change their minds. The matbeya kesef, look what he says, the silver coins have a mark of the money. Why? He gives an explanation, Rashi. Mishum, the harife. They are harif linaten botza, meaning they are recognized as legal tender. Right? The dinar zahav. Dinar zahav is not einu ela keshar metaltin v'per, like any other commodity, movables or fruit. It says v'ma'ot einan konot, and coins don't buy something ad sheyimshoch ametaltin. You actually do a maaseh kinyan on the metaltin. Ava meshichat ametaltin kone, but without money changing hands, just meshicha is good enough. Ve'ein echad v'miachol lachzor. So once you've done the meshicha, no one can change their minds. And if you just gather the money, you have the meshicha, you can change your mind. Someone from the Torah, some say this Mashiach is a doraita, see that, eh? And some say it's a takan of the Rabbanan, a social norm. Okay, so that's, we'll see that in a moment. Okay, new case. Hanachoshet, so that was with silver and gold and silver. Hanachoshet koneta kesef. See how we said the gold is kone the kesef, same thing in the choshet. Copper also kone kesef, same idea. Rashi says, Prutoch on the choshet, gold, the coins, kone the kesef, dinare shel kesef, or koma be shel kesef. Kulan tam echad is all the same reason. Mi shetivo chashuv lidboa have a ma'ot ve'eno kone. So anytime something's called money, which is important enough to be legal tender, you don't do a maaseh kinyan with that. Umi she'ein tivo chashuv v'charif. See that? Chashuv v'charif. And whoever's coined form isn't important and charif, meaning yeah, recognize, I think that word, have a kepeirot or meshichatan hu kiyum davar. So the coins are harif and chashuv, important harif. The maaseh kinyan is down on the thing which isn't harif and chashuv. Okay, that becomes the commodity, right? Va'kesef eno konet anachoshet. So vice versa. Okay, ma'ot haraot, bad coins konot et hayafot. It was the good coins are the commodity. The bad coins become the good coins are the money. The bad coins become the commodity, that they're out of surface, vayafot, and the good coins, einam kona raot, right? You've gathered all the good coins, you can't get the gold coins, the bad coins, until you actually do a Mashiach. Then an Asimon, what's an Asimon? Everyone knows an Asimon, everyone in this room remembers an Asimon, right? Telephone call there. Well, the reason what an Asimon really means, it hasn't got a face on it. It's a, like any time you go to the supermarket, you get those like things sticking to the trolley, the tokens, hasn't got a face printed on it, right? It's not pressed. It's not pressed. It hasn't got a face on it. That's called an Asimon. So Asimon Koneh Tamatbeya, the Asimon becomes a commodity and not the coin. Now again, metal tinkering matbeya, movables, you do mashiach on them and they give you title you to the money. Matbeya eino kone et a metal tinkering. Okay, now the Mishnah says this is a rule. Kone metal tinkering zed ze. See that? All metal tinkering, you said Robert, that's the point. All metal tinkering can acquire one for the other. It's exactly what the Mishnah says over here, right? And if it's a barter situation, right, look at Rashi here. Bain betrat chalifin, whether it's called a chalifin. If you do a barter, if those kevan she mashach aichad kana cheret hashelo, the moment one he does mashiach on the other one gets acquires his. Or bein torat damim, where it's got a value. Become it itenli et shelcha bekach bekach. I'll give you four watches for one set of gemoras, right? Whatever the case is. V'zechozev omelo become it itenli. How much do you give me? When it ratzu mashach and they do an agreement, the one of them pulls the wine. It came out very done deal. V'hai court. So the gemaras over here, the mishnah over here. Call hametaltini. So she says, call Rashi. What's call mean? What's the call including? Afilu kis malei maot bekis malei maot. We'll see just now. A pocket that's full of money of a pocket full of money. We'll get to that later on in the world. Okay. So that is the case of the Mishnah's houses work. Mashach himenu peirot. As soon as you pull, you grab the peirot, whatever the commodity is. Velo natan lo maot. You haven't given the money yet. Eino yachol achol. You can't change your mind any longer. However, natan lo maot. You gave him the money first. Velo mashach himenu peirot. Didn't actually do the take the mashiach on the commodity yet. Yachol lachzor bo. Right, Rashi says ze vze. Both of them can change their minds. Aval amru. The Torah says like this. Me, this is a famous quote. Me she para me anshe. It's a curse. We've seen this before, right? Me she para me anshe. The God who took retribution. I think is a way of translating it, right? A retribution from Dora Mabu umidora palaga or from right. Right, who atid li para mimish ein omed bediburo? If you don't honor your word, you will stand to bear the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is much more than anything else. Once you did a deal, this is telling you to honor your word. You don't start getting out and pulling your way out and wiggling your way out of it around. You did a deal, stick to the deal. And if not, mishe para, who are you para? Okay, Rabbi Shimon.
Verbal agreement.
Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol she hakesef beyado. Rabbi Shimon doesn't agree, and he says, no, this is your Tanakama. He says, kol she hakesef beyado, yado lalina. Whoever's got the money. So he says, if the buyer hasn't yet paid you the money, then he's got the yado, but he can pull out of the deal. If the seller has already received the money, then the buyer can't pull out of the deal. That's Rabbi Shimon. Look at Rashi very quickly here. Kol she hakesef beyado, paliga Rabbanan, he argues Rabbanan, da'abira natan lo maot yachol lachzor bo. Because Rabbanan Tanakama says, if you have the guy with the money, you have it in the Mashiach, you can change your mind. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you can't. None of them can. But the Meimar Mocher Shako Bayarohu says the seller it's all in his hands. The Yachol Achzorbo, but Lokech and Yachol Achzorbo. The buyer can't, because the seller, if he's got the money and the goods, he can change his mind. Then once you hand over the money, according to Rabbi Shimon, you can't change your mind longer. You're done. You're stuck in the deal. Okay, quickly, come on. So Matni La Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi says to Rabbi Shimon Berei, Hazahav Kone Et HaKesef. That's our Mishnah, right? It tells you our Mishnah that the money, the commodity, is what you do the Maaseh Kinyan on, and the money is then acquired through the Maaseh Kinyan on the commodity. So look at this. Rabbi Shimon, that's Rabbi's son, right? Matnile Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon. This is Berei, his son. So Amalei says Rabbi, took his father, right? He says Rabbi. Shanit danu b'yaldutecha, when you were young, you told us a different version of this Mishnah. When we were young, you told us HaKesef kone et hazahav. That the money buys the gold, the silver buys the gold, not the gold buys the silver. In other words, the money is what's acquiring the object, not the object acquiring the money. Right? V'tachzor v'tishane lanu b'ziknotecha hazav koneta kesef. And now when you're getting older, you suddenly change your mind. And now suddenly you're saying that the gold is acquires the money, not the money experience, right? So, b'yaldutei, so now the Gemara wants to understand what's going on over here. Why did Rebbe change his mind? He says, b'yaldutei, my savas, when he was younger, what did he think? What do you think when you get older? Right, so the Gemara is like this. What do you think when he was young? He said like this. The hava, gold, the chashiv, Gold's more important, so therefore have a tira. That becomes the money. The gold coins are the money. They're important. And kasbad lo chashiv, still which is less chashuv, have a pira. That must be the fruit, the commodity. V'kanile pira letiva. And we now know that the pira buys the tiva. So therefore he said, hakesef konet azahav. Because the kesef is the pira. So you do the meshicha on the kesef, that's the commodity. And you then become entitled to the gold, which is the chash of the coin. Beziknutei, when he got older, Rebbe said the other way around. He said, savar, that the kaspa, the kesef. Look, this is what Rashi said early on. Kesef, which is... Oh, wait, I need a new gemara here now. One second. So he says the kesef, the charif, kesef is charif. Rashi said, what is kesef? What is charif? Look at Rashi, the very yotzei, so it's used for negotiable. It's a negotiable instrument, right? It's a what the word I used a better word early on. What did I say? Not negotiable instrument. Money is a
currency.
Right, legal tender. That's what I use. Right, legal tender. Right, the charif avetiva, the hava the law charif, and gold, which is not legal tender. Right, not charif like money, right? In other words, the idea of here not being charif is that not everybody, when you go on gold, everybody and buy with gold coins. If you walk into the market the other day, you give the guy a Kruger Rand, he's going to look at you like you're stupid. You're going to say, give me money. You check what the gold price was and how, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, but when you bring, you arrive with your coin, he takes the coin, I don't ask any question what the silver value. Yes, a coin is a coin. Right, the local period, the he changed his mind, he said, no. The kind of the pira, the tiva, so you do the masikin on the gold. So Amrav Ashi, Ashi says, I don't understand. He says, on the contrary, he says, meat makes more sense to me. Maybe his version was younger. So look here, he says, Amrav Ashi, kiyal dutei mistabra. Makes much more sense. Look at Rashi, devadai ken kibla mirabo. Because where did he get this from? Rabbi didn't make it up. Who was he? Look at this. Look at this. Who was his Rabbi? Rabbi Yonasi's Rabbi? He says, Rabbi Meir. She satam mishnah shelo. Now in our Mishnah, we've got it, it says Anochoshet Koneh Kesef. There's a brighter that I haven't seen yet, but in the brighter also says Anochoshet Koneh Kesef when Rebbe was younger. In other words, that seemed to stay consistent. Both when Rebbe was younger, he said Anochoshet Koneh Kesef, the copper buys the silver, and he said then the silver buys the gold. Now in his older age, he said the gold buys the silver and the copper buys the silver. So the copper stayed. So he says from the fact that the copper is the piri, and the silver is the money. He wants to say that Rebbe, when he was younger, was right. Now, how does he prove? How does he prove that? Look what he says up here. We start becoming a choshe kona kesef. From he said the copper acquires the silver. Why? Because he says, yeah, I might be shloma. If you're going to tell me, like Rashi adds in over here, that the kesef koneh azahav, like we said in the new version, in the older version, when the silver buys the gold, kesef koneh azahav. So kasper le gabe dahabe pira. But now we're saying with the kesef, with regards to gold, is the pira, is the fruits, and the gold is what? The gold is the money, correct? Right? Have a hainu de katani. That's why we understand when we say that the gold is the money and the copper and the silver is the fruits. That's why we have to learn hainu de katani, hanochosher kunera kesef. That's the chidush, that the copper acquires the silver. We said if the silver buys the gold, right? If the kesef koneh tazahav, he says silver buys the gold. Like Rabbi said when he was younger, it was the silver was the commodity and the gold is the money. So that's the chiddush why you have to tell me that the nechoshet is buys the silver. That the nechoshet is the commodity. Why? Well, when we compare gold and silver, so the silver is the pira, the silver is the commodity, and the gold is the money. The gabe nechoshet, with regard to copper, the silver is the tavei havei, right? So that's the chirush. The chirush is the gold to silver. The silver, gold is the money. The silver is the commodity. But when it comes to nechoshet, the copper is the commodity and the silver is the money. That's why we're going to tell me that. We would have thought money is always silver. So he said, no, gold is money to silver. And silver is money to copper. Right? Because we're not saying that money is always silver. We're saying it's relative. He says, that's why, that's the whole chidush for telling me that copper kones kesef. Why? Because if I thought that money is always silver, that gold is the money, and the silver is the commodity, right? Like in the first version of the Mishnah, that gold is the money. So now I'm going to think, wait a second, gold is the money, and silver is the commodity. So maybe in copper, maybe copper is the money, and silver is the commodity. That's what you're going to tell me. No. Copper is the commodity and silver is the money. So silver can be the commodity with regards to gold, but it's money with regards to copper. That's why I need that halacha, correct? You're going to tell me that the gold and vis-a-vis silver, the silver is the money. So now when you, if gold is more important than the money, and nonetheless we said, Amarta the tiva, that silver is still the money. So the gabe choshech, when it comes to the choshet, that man silver regards the choshet is certainly more chashuv and more charif mi bai. Do I need to know that? It was the only reason that you told me that the choshet is the commodity and silver is the money, says Rabbi Chia, says Rabbi Ashi, is because Rabbi said that in gold versus silver, gold is the money and silver is the commodity. Now gold is more important than silver, correct? And yet, so that's why gold's the money. When it comes to silver and copper, would I even think for a second that copper could be the commodity and silver would be the money? Gold was the money. Why? Was more important. Silver is more important than copper. But not only is silver more important than copper, silver is a what's the word I used? Negotiable currency. Legal tender. So the passion that with regards to copper and silver, silver. I don't need the mission to tell me that the copper is the commodity and silver is the money. The only reason you're telling me that is because you told me that gold is the money versus silver. So I might think, wait a second, if gold is the money versus silver, maybe silver is not money. Maybe the copper is the money and not the silver. So I say, no, don't get confused. Gold is the money versus silver, but silver is still the money versus copper. And that was Rebbe when he was younger, because he said that gold is the money versus silver. When he got older, and he said, no, the silver is the money, even versus gold. And silver is always the money. I don't need you to teach me about copper and silver. So it must be that the first version is right, and that's why it tells us copper, because in the second, in the Mishnah here, he also teaches us copper. But in the second Mishnah, I don't need copper anymore because money is the currency. So why I care what the other, if gold's a commodity, then certainly copper is a commodity. Right? There's no chiddush in the Mishnah, so it must be that Rebbe's first version was right.
There's no fixed value to the coins here.
We come in there. Jump in the gun now. 1 second. Let's quickly carry on. Okay. So that's what Rav Ashi says. But everybody clear on that? Right? Clear? Right. She says, Ela Iya Mart, if you're gonna tell me, I have a Kasper the Gabi, I have a Tiva, I have a Khash the Gabi and Khad, you're gonna say Mibai, so we're gonna say, no, that's not true. We do need still to know about copper. Why? You can't prove anything from there, says the Gemara. Kosaka Rotary thought, Hanei Prite Baatra. He says, these putot, these copper putot, Hanei Prite Baatra, the Sagya. Sagya over here means legal tender. Rashi said, look, Rashon Hiluchu, but you can use it. So he says, no, we might have thought that these putot, there's a Rashi over here, it says putot, prate, putot, right? These prite, these putot of these coins, these copper coins, they are tender. Inuch Arifa Etfei Mikasper, they might be in that particular place. Copper might be a more sought after coin than silver. And then you would have thought what? You would have thought that the copper is the commodity, the currency, and the silver is the commodity. You might arrive in some country where I don't know, all their coins are made of copper. You know, such a thing. Anybody use copper coins anymore? Is that big? You used to have like the...
Copper coins,
10 shekels, a bit of both, right?
Pennies,
whatever. So it says, so therefore, Ema Tive Have, we might have thought that there, that's the coin. Kamash Malan, Kayvan Deika Duchted Lo Sagibe, Pure, since in there some places where copper isn't considered tender, copper is always a commodity. Okay? That's where we saw that silver is harif. Everybody uses silver coins. Where copper is not everybody uses, therefore we might have had having that question, no, you can't learn that. So the Gemara says, so that was basically trying to prove that that Rav Ashi agreed with the first version of Rebbe. The Gemara says Rabbi Chia, he's the balak of the Toseftas, right? Of the brightest. So it says Rabbi Chia also, the Gemara says, Rabbi Chia, Sabar, the Habetiva Habe, He says that Rabbi also thought that that the gold is the tibah haveh. Right, and what's the story? Why do we think that? It says the Rav. Remember, Rav Chia was Rav's uncle, right? Remember, he was related to him both on his mother and his father's side. Remember, were you with me? Am I right? It's the other way around. Is it Rav Chia to Rav? I think that Rav was Rabbi Chia's nephew on his mother and his father's side. They were like married in like half step brothers and sisters married each other. Rav was the nephew on both sides to Rabbi Chia, I think. I think Rabbi Chia was his uncle, but you will check me out in a second. Right? So he said, yeah, that Rav. So Rav ozif dinare mi barte to Rav Chia. Rav borrowed money from Rav Chia's daughter. And now dinare. What are the dinare here? Dinare are gold coins.
Yeah.
Gold coins. Hold on a second. Is there Rashi over here? Ozif, yeah, Rashi says, yeah. Ozif dinare lava zehuvim. Okay, Rashi points out that he borrowed from Rav Chia's daughter, right? He borrowed from Rav Chia's daughter, which is his first cousin. Okay, it's not off the charts. He borrowed from his first cousin. He borrowed from his first cousin, dinare, bibarte Rav Chia. Now, lesof, iaku dinare. Now, your question, Kevin. The gold coins went up in value. Suddenly, the gold coins are worth more money than when he borrowed them, right? So, atle kam Rav Chia, kam Rav Chia. So, what did I do? Owe your daughter 50 gold coins. When I borrowed their 50 gold coins were equal to 100 silver coins or 1,000 silver coins. Now suddenly 50 gold coins equal to 1,500 silver coins. I'm going to pay you 1,500 silver coins value. Isn't that ribbit?
Yep.
Aren't I paying her interest? I'm giving her now gold coins are worth more than the gold coins I borrowed from her. Right? So now, if we say money, then no, look, let's be honest. If I borrow from you 1,000 shekels, and I come back and give you the 1,000 shekels, nobody in their right mind says, wait, let's just go into, what's that app called? XE, what's it called? XE. And click on XE and say, wait a second. When you borrowed 1,000 shekels from me, it was worth $300. Now it's worth $350. Don't give me 1,000, give me back 875 because I want to take interest. No one does it, right? Why? Because shekels are legal currency and you borrowed 1,000, I only borrowed 1,000 shekels from you. You want back 1,000 shekels from me, correct? So that's just, at least, right? So that's how we're going to try and prove. So if Rav Chia wants it like this, if he borrowed from my daughter, I don't know, 50 gold coins, and he comes back now, he says the gold coins now in the exchange rate are worth more silver coins. So if the silver is the money, then the gold coins are the commodity. So when you buy, if I borrow from you flour, okay, and say, I'll borrow you a bag of flour, 500 grams of flour, I want to bake a cake. And I bring back from you 500 grams of flour. If when I borrow from you in the morning, the 500 grams of flour were worth 50 shekels, and when I come back to you a week later, 500 grams of flour is now worth 100 shekels, I've got to give you back a half a pack. Because that's Abbasah. I can't pay you back more than what it's worth. Because if the commodity has gone up in value, then that is called ribbit. We're going to see an exception to that in a moment. Don't panic.
Well, orange juice with the extra orange in it.
Okay, whatever. Right, so that's called ribbit. So if the gold coins, I've got to worry about the value, then that's proof that the gold coins are a commodity. If I don't care what the exchange rate of the gold coins are, then that's proof that gold coins are money. Right, so that's the question. Here's he's trying to prove. That's what Chia says. He says, Rabbi Chia, he says that he borrowed from my daughter. The soft ikru dinay atle kam Rabbi Chia. Amale Rabbi Chia said to Rav, Zil shalim la tavin v'takilin. Go give her back the best gold coins you can find. In other words, we don't care that they've gone up in value. Why? Because the gold coins are money. If the gold coins are money, then there's no such thing as exchange rate. So this is proof that Rabbi Chia agrees in the first version of Rabbi, not our Mishnah, which is that the gold is the commodity and the silver is the money. The gold is the money. Now he says, Iya might be shlomo da have teva have. If you tell me that the gold is the tav is the coin, shafi, perfect. Eliya might pirev, if it's a commodity, so have they say avasur. That's called a se'ah. Se'ah, borrowing a se'ah, and I gave a se'ah, and the se'ah now is worth more. It's asur, you can't do that. The Gemara says, no, I'm going to take side. We can't bring anything here from Rabbi Chia. Why not? Rav, dinare habule. Rav actually had his own gold coins. Just they might not have been accessible at the moment. Okay, that's why he borrowed them from the doctor. Right, he had them. Look at Rashi. Habule, Rashi, Rav, dinare habule. Keshelavait, and we borrowed these. The Gabesa Besaat now we learned with regards to borrowing one Se'ah for another Se'ah, about Omelo. If you say to a kid, yeah, this is what gives us the head to borrow from our neighbors all the time. Say, Hilvaini ad sheyavo b'ni. Lend me this until a bowl of flour before my son gets home and he has to open the cupboard for me. I can't reach or whatever, right? Or ad sheyem tza maftach lafan the key. She'elu shebiyado niknin the malve. And I've got it home. Don't worry. I've got it in the shop. I'll be able to replace it for you in a very close period of time, right? Then he says, and now, so now what are we saying? When they went up, it was actually to end up in my possession already. I've got those. I don't have to now go and make a whole thing of flour for you and go and buy the raw materials and the market price has gone up. I've got it. So what's the difference if I'm just basically, you just, like, you know, when you sell a short, when you sell shares short on the stock exchange. So today, not in your father's time, right? You can sell, today, you can't sell shares short unless you can borrow the share from somebody else. You know, that's the whole industry around lending you the share to help you sell the share short. You can't sell if you haven't got it. It's exactly the same idea over here. So what are you doing? You're saying that
you have security.
You can't. The systems won't allow you to do it. You've actually got to borrow the share. It says, Ubishotokru. The ribit savas ad rabbanan uvechiyah gav the lo gazur. It's only at the rabbanan milechatchila that say al b'seach. It basically looks like it's not real ribi. Borrowing flowers at the rabbanan. So the rabbanan don't pass it. So they said, you had the coins, therefore did a recovery there from Rabbi Chiya. Right? It says back in the Gemara, v'kavad havu le'dinari nasi komila havani ad sheyavo b'ni o ad sheyem tza maftach. So I'm a rabba. Rabba's like this. So hi, Tana Savur. It says like the have tave have. This Tana over here, if the opinion that gold is the coin, how do we know the Tanya, Pruta, Shamru, it brings a bright over here, it shows another Tanya over here that holds, also that coins are that the gold is the coins. How do we get that? The Tanya quite a brighter. It's quite interesting how they're learning all these halachas over here. This is a brighter in Masechet Eduyot, right? It says that a Pruta, Shamru, right? When they spoke about a Pruta, why do we have to know what a Pruta is? The bright thing is, what is relevant to us, all these measurements? Echad mishmone beisar italkim. There's eight, basically the eight a prutah is 1/8 of isar italki. So there are eight prutahs in a isar italki. So the Gemara said, why do you know that? He said, lekidusha isha. Because you marry a woman with a prutah, right? Look, Rashi Kiddush, esha amru chachamim beprutah hodiyach hakama hi prutah. So we know that you need a prutah to marry a woman. So how much is the prutah? 8 isar italki. An eighth of isar italki. Then, an isar, what's an isar itself? An isar is echad mi eshrim va'arbe bedinar shel kesef. So there are 24 isarim in a silver, in a dinar kesef. Right? So again, why do we know that? The mind of kamina, the mekach u'memkar. What do we mean mekach u'memkar? Rashi says, machal u'dinar b'yotem eshrim va'arbe isarim, ko ma she'la yesh ra'kenem nit'ana lokeach. V'im yesh ona'a shtut yachshiv. If the ona'a, if you're missing by more than a six, so now you can undo the deal. So we have to know now that more than a six. What is it? It's a. We got 24 isarim in a silver coin. So basically, we can calculate there what the shtut is over there of a dinar. And now that is of a isar. Now dinar shel kesef. Here we come to our story. A silver coin. What is a silver coin? Echad meshrim v'chamisha b'dinar shel zahav. There are 25 silver coins in a golden dinar. So a dinar kesef is a 25th of a dinar zahav. 25 silver dinarim in a dinar zahav. Why do you know that? Right? Lemay nafkamina lepidyon aben. To lepidyon aben. Why pidyon aben? Pidyon aben, you give how much? You give chamisha kesef shekel. Shekel kesef, right? 5 silver kesef. So what's 5 silver coins? So now, a dinar zahav, we said, is 25 silver coins. So you've got to give 5 silver coins to a kohen. Right? So kesef, yeah, might be shlomo. So now, we're going to prove now how we get to the silver and gold. If why gold is money. Via might be shloma. We're going to tell you no problem that the gold is the tavahave. So mishar tani b'midi dekates. So we've got now a set value. If the gold is a commodity, we know that gold coins are always worth 25 silver coins. You don't care what the value of the silver or the gold is. If money is money, we know that a shekel is 100 agurot, right? We don't ask how much agura is any given day and decide how many shekels are in an agura. Yeah. If an agura is made of of some sort of steel and that price, obviously, oh, now your shekels only worth 80 agurot. No. Shekels always 100 agurot, correct?
Yeah, but gold is an intrinsic value.
So the question is gold dinar? That's the question. Is a dinar of gold, is it fluctuate, or is a dinar of gold always 25 silver coins? In other words, when the silver goes down, your dinar zahav goes down. When the silver goes up, your dinar zahav goes up. Because it's always 25 silver coins. That's the question. You got it?
The words that's we, at the top
that's,
of
the question is, that's the arbitrary. That's how we can prove that. If you can prove that, then we've proven that gold dinar is a currency. And it's not a commodity. That's what he wants to say now. He says, V'i amart v'ishlom et tiva havei. So Mishar tari b'mini de kitz. Look at Rashi. What do you mean, b'mini de kitz? Is there Rashi? He says, Mishar tari b'mini de kitz. She'er tane pijon ha-ben, b'mabay ha-katsuv. A pijon ha-ben, we can now know what a set price is. She'afilu b'zman she'enu nimka yoter mi'ashim dirai kesef. Because even in a time when the coin is she'enu nimka yoter mi'ashim dirai kesef, you're only going to get 20 kesef for the gold coin. Right, if the gold value in a golden zahav is only worth 20 silver dinarim, and now right, yachzilo a kohen chamisha dinarim, the coin, and you if you paid your coin pigeon a ben with a golden coin, so the golden coin is worth 25 silver coins, each five of those coins is one kesef shekel. So a shekel kesef is 5 dinarei zahav. 5. And 4 dinarei zahav. Sorry, 4 dinarei zahav. And you've got to give him, so each shekel kesef is 4 dinarei zahav. You've got to give 5 shekel kesef. How many dinarei kesef? 20. So the change will always be how many dinarim, silver dinarim? 5. Because a gold coin is always 5 dinarei kesef. So every 4 dinarei kesef is a shekel. You gotta pay pinyin aben, you gotta pay 5 shekel. So 5 shekel is 5 times 4 silver dinarim, is 20 silver dinarim. If you give a coin, a gold coin, no matter what the value of gold or silver is in the world, a gold dinar is always worth 25 dinarim. And a shekel is 4 dinarei zahav. So if I give you a gold coin, you give me back 5. You can't say that I'm only giving back 4 because the gold has dropped a bit. And that's only if
an exchange rate.
Exchange rate. And that's, and when do you have an exchange rate? When it's a currency. Yeah. So then he says over here, he says, yeah, Mike, Bishlam, now we can understand, according to this brighter, that's what he's over there, that's what Rava said, that we got a brighter, the brighter of our tongue also says that it's that gold is the commodity. So and yeah, Mike, Pira have a, if it's a commodity, the gold dinar, so Mishar, Tadi, we need the Okir Vazil. Now the Tan is giving you, establishing a market value, which sometimes goes up and sometimes goes down. Right? Zimnin de mahari le kahena, vizimnin de masifu de iyuk le kahena. So sometimes the coin has to give you back some money, and sometimes you've got to add in money. So if you're putting up in with a gold coin, and it's fluctuating all the time, you've got at any given time, which is how we do today, by the way, because you've got to give the coin 5 shekel kesef. So you go and you know we know how much a gerah is of kesef, and we check what the value is. If you haven't got actually those pigeon aben coins, even if you've got them, you want to buy them from the coin. How much to pay for them? You go into them, you see what silver is. You get the value. You write a check to the coin. You buy his coins from him. You give back his coins. So he says, in the brighter they said a fair set amount. If you pay with a dinar zahav, you always get back 5 dinar kesef. So that means that the gold coin is a coin. Right? Ela shma mina, tive have shma mina. So that's what Rav, so we've seen over here, Rav actually wanted to try and prove that it was because of the chiddush of copper in our Mishnah. So we can't actually prove that because the Gemara thought copper is different to silver always. Then Rav Chia said, no, we want to try and prove from Rav Chia that Rebbe was right in his first younger version because he wanted to show from his daughter that he lent him gold. And he said, pay back the same gold coins, we don't care what the value is. He said, no. He had them in his bank account, and it was like sitting a short, there's no problem. The third case of Yahweh proven from Rava in the Brighter that the Tana of this Brighter actually said that gold is a commodity, is a coin, not a commodity.
A coin, yeah.
Okay.
But so it's relative to silver.
No, but it doesn't matter. It's not relative to silver. That's the whole thing. It's not relative to silver dinarim, which themselves are coins.
Yeah.
But not relative to the value of silver. And that's why it's not a commodity. If it was, if we were looking at the intrinsic value of the gold in the coin, then we'd say it's a commodity. Once you say, we don't care the intrinsic value of the gold in the coin. A gold coin is always worth 25 silver coins. And therefore, if you paid a coin with a gold coin, you're always going to get back 5. That's what the Tana says. The Rav says, the Tana says. Okay, we're going to take... I'm not going to finish enough. Just give me one. Okay, you got to go. Okay, let's stop over here.